Support for Kani Kapila Vintage comes from Manu Healii, celebrating Hawaii's culture and heritage for 41 years. From its craft fair origins to a multifaceted creative company, Manu Healii has grown to a family business with artists designing apparel and accessories inspired by Hawaii's culture, colors, and lifestyles. Discover their collections at manuhealii.com.
Aloha, I'm Derek Malama, and this is Kani Kapila Sunday Vintage Edition. It's the podcast where we reach into the archives for interviews and live performances with some of Hawaii's most beloved musicians, from virtuosos of the Hawaiian Renaissance to the younger musicians who have honored and reimagined enduring traditions. Today, we're sharing my 2007 interview with John DeMello. In many ways, DeMello is a different kind of Kani Kapila guest, bringing the perspective of a music producer to the show. He's the founder of the Mountain Apple Company. He's produced over half a century of albums, including dozens of the biggest names in Hawaiian music, from individual artists like Amy Hanaili Gilliam, Willie Kay, and Don Ho, to legendary groups including the Brothers Casimero, Hapa, and the Hawaiian Style Band. And in my conversation with DeMello, we revisit the work of one of the all-time greats to record on the Mountain Apple label, none other than Brada Is, Israel Kamakaviva Ole. So stick around, we'll get started after a short break.
HPR Hōʻike is your home for fresh, new local content. Catch up on our Live from the Atherton concerts or tune in for thoughtful discussions with local authors, artists, and practitioners. All produced in-house right here at HPR. Tune into HPR Hōʻike on Sunday afternoons at 1.
This is Derek Malama bringing you another installment of Kani Kapila Vintage. Mahalo for being here. In this episode, we revisit my 2007 interview with John DeMello. Our conversation came 30 years after DeMello founded the Mountain Apple Company. It's one of the pioneering labels for Hawaiian music, which began by producing the work of some of the most central figures of the Hawaiian Renaissance. While DeMello worked with dozens of artists over several decades, it's his work with Israel Kamakaviva Ole that's most widely known. The beloved musician, known to many simply as Iz, is often credited with introducing new audiences around the world to Hawaiian music. DeMello had a vision for pairing Iz's famous vocals with orchestral music. That vision was realized with the release of Wonderful World, one decade after Iz's passing at the age of 38. DeMello talks about collaborating with others, including his father, Jack DeMello, on the orchestrations, and the difficult task of selecting the handful of songs from Iz's catalog that would make it onto the album. DeMello begins by detailing how the idea for the album first came together.
You're listening to Kani Kapila Sunday on KIPO. I'm Derek Malama. The CD Wonderful World maintains Israel Kamakaviva Ole's prominence as a world-class artist. 12 songs combine Iz's vocals with orchestral music that captures his passion in an inspirational style. And today I'm with a man who put this CD together. Welcome the executive producer of Wonderful World from the Mountain Apple Company, Mr. John DeMello. Welcome.
Good day, Derek. Wonderful World.
Yes, it is.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome.
And congratulations on the success of Wonderful World.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's Thank doing you. Well in the charts. And when did you first come up with the idea for this project?
You know, it may go back just a little beyond that almost. Israel and I, Israel always loved music of any kind of world music, any kind of music he would listen to. He loved it. And his life was built around it. And about 3 years ago, I started to listen to all the songs that Israel and I built in what we would call his catalog, all of his songs. And there's about 38 songs complete, and then there's lots of rehearsal tapes and lots of rehearsal things that are all digital, so they're clean and they're wonderful and all that stuff. Wonderful World, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And really, it came upon me in the middle of the night that if Israel was still living, he'd be just approaching 50 years old, which he'd be ready for a symphonic environment. And he loved big orchestras. I remember taking him down to a rehearsal that we had at the concert hall with a large, the Honolulu Symphony. And he sat on the wings by the harpist on stage left, and or stage right, rather. And it was amazing to watch him watch all these people playing together. And he was like a little kid in a candy store, actually, you know. So it dawned on me that approaching 50, he'd be ready for that kind of approach to his own music. So I started hunting into the stuff and reorganizing it and listening to what I would think arrangements and orchestral arrangements around him would be like. I wrote down in very big letters with a black marsh sharpie, as they call them,
yes,
on my refrigerator door, "Stay out of Israel's way." And I didn't mean the refrigerator, I meant myself. And musically speaking, I meant stay away from him. He has this message. He has this voice that is iconic around the world. And just, you know, it's there. His ukulele strumming can't be touched. It's just he's got this masterful push and drive that he does so well. And if an orchestra could fit itself around Israel and his ukulele, then it could be a successful project. So I started into a few and to see if it would work. And it was working, and it was working wonderfully well at that point in time. And I picked just a couple of songs and played with them a little bit, and then I started in on the whole project. This was over 2 years ago.
Over 2 years ago. And how did you choose the songs that went on this project?
Good question. I over-orchestrated. I've orchestrated so far 23. There's four people on my team that orchestrate, myself and my father, and there's two other people we're using. And we toss these manuscripts around on email and PDFs around the planet, and we make changes, make adjustments, and then we start to record the music. It was just kind of a natural thing for us to dive into it all together and make this stuff happen. I got so zealous about it that I ended up actually orchestrating with a group 23 songs, and I planned to do the rest of them. And then it became the laborious act of, after I had mixed 23 of his best songs, cutting it back down to where it would be something that I could release. 23 songs, 26 songs, way too much for a consumer to listen to at one time. In the old days with vinyl, it used to be about 16 minutes, you know, 26 minutes total, you know. And now we can squeeze on a CD about an hour or 10 minutes. It's way too much for someone to listen to, I think. Maybe I'm just come from the old school and I know that 3 minute songs are where it's at, you know, for everyone's sake. But I whittled it down to 12 songs, and there I think they're some of his best. Mm-hmm. I feel real good about it. There's a couple of real jewels in there.
Oh, yes.
They've never been real heard this way and never really been heard in their entirety, actually. So yeah. It's it was a delicious, fun project.
I can tell from the product that came out. Let's talk about what you did with Eku'u Morning Dew. Now, what was the process involved in working with this song?
This is an interesting one. First of all, it's the only song on the album that was recorded out of a studio. It was outdoors in Mililii, in a little fishing village on the big island of Hawaii. And we went down there and did a concert for the village, just for the villagers. It was right on the beach, open air, outside, no tents. It was a little gusty that day. There was also a generator we had to take down to have our own power source, so it was steady for our cameras and for our video equipment and for our audio equipment and everything. And we started a concert and started into it. And it's the only time he really recorded a Ku'u Morning Dew for me. Oh. And he recorded it on a inexpensive microphone, a $40 microphone, $50 microphone nowadays. And my studios are normally have like, you know, $10,000, $12,000 Neumann microphones that are just, you know, perfect for the vocal. So the first situation I had to take care of was to try to get the two sounds of the outdoor vocal to match the indoor studio vocal. That was a little bit tricky because you could hear the generator. If you isolated his vocal track in his ukulele, you could hear the generator. You could hear kids talking and dogs barking. You could even hear the ocean a little bit in the background because we were only about 45 feet from the Okikaya right there in front of us. It was quite an afternoon concert, and the people of the little fishing village went absolutely crazy with it. The Kupuanai and everybody, and the kids were just all over everybody. It was quite delicious.
So this concert was originally when?
This is about 1995.
Okay.
And it was we just hauled all our stuff down to Mililii and did it for the folks. Just did it. Israel wanted to do things for his people. Israel was a people kind of person, you know. And it took a little surgery over one. The first verse had a very poignant word in it, and right over the word there was a dog bark. And there was no way I could get rid of the dog bark, no matter what I tried. I tried to cut a word out, couldn't do it. I found the same word in the second verse, and with our normal, you know, cut and paste mentality nowadays with word processing, I actually cut the word out of the second verse and pasted it over the dog bark word in the first verse. And it's seamless. You can't hear it. Even if you isolate the track, you cannot hear it go by.
Wow. Okay, well, let's take a listen to A Ku'u Morning Dew minus the dog bark.
That'll be on eBay or Dog Bay.
Dog Bay, that's a good one. It is from the CD Wonderful World on Kanikapila Sunday.
A Ku'u Morning Dew, Aliyamai, Aliyamai. Happy
That is from the CD Wonderful World and Eku'u Morning Dew. Executive producer John DeMello is with me in the KIPO studios today. And you're mentioning during that song about
his? There's a couple of interesting things about that song. First of all, he started the song, counted it off, started the song, and was playing ukulele and sort of just stopped with his ukulele. So if you notice, there's no ukulele in this song. And I used a harp pluck to sort of counterbalance that feel that a four-string ukulele would have. But there's no ukulele in the song, so it was very interesting to do that. Plus the fact that it was done with a lesser-valued microphone outdoors in the wind and all the crazies, you know, that we had to deal with. But it turned out really nice, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, it was beautiful. Beautiful. And the orchestra that you used was?
Orchestra was mostly recorded in Los Angeles. Some parts were done here. Some small parts were done here. Small sections were done here, but not very much. Mostly in Los Angeles, a little bit in Tokyo. And that's where we concentrated. That was mostly where it is. I had my two arrangers. One's in L.A., one's in Tokyo, and one is in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And the other one here, of course, in Hawaii.
Now, Las Vegas is where your father now lives.
Right.
Did you get any advice from him regarding
this? Yeah, I got
a
lot of advice from him. He's an encyclopedia. Are you kidding? We had a lot of fun, you know, PDFing the manuscripts back and forth over a computer around the world with these different people we were dialoguing with. And it was fun. The computer goes off, and you go over, and then you hit the print button, you print a score out, and then you go rifling through areas, and you just scratch it out. Say, no, you're over Israel. Let Israel just carry it by himself. You know, orchestration is a very delicate thing. Too much can be way too much. Too little can be too much, too. So it's as Rap Replinger would say it, just right. Not too sweet, not too rancid. And it's very true with orchestration because you have so many people in front of you and so many instruments. In some cases, there was a 60-piece orchestra in front of us. The tendency to have everyone play all the time is right in your face because they're eager to play. They're players. You know, but the trick is the space between the notes is not the notes. That's really the musical trick in life. It's the empty space, not the space that has music in it, that catches your attention as much as the music does.
The space between the notes, spoken like a true man of music. That's longtime producer and composer John DeMello talking about Wonderful World, an album he released in 2007, pairing the vocals of Israel Kamaka Vivo Ole with orchestrations composed by DeMello and others. We'll have more of this conversation and enjoy a few more tracks off the album right after a short break.
Hawaii, there's a special appreciation for things that are local. And we take that seriously at HPR, where 30% of the programs you hear are made in-house by our own team. Everything from Morning Cafe to The Conversation, Bridging the Gap to Evening Jazz. Whether you're a news junkie or a music lover, HPR's local programming keeps you rooted in our shared island community. Learn more about our shows at hawaiipublicradio.org.
Let's get back to my 2007 interview with John DeMello. We pick it up as I ask him about Brother Izzy's recording of White Sandy Beach. We get to hear that song, along with the fascinating story about the man who wrote it. DeMello also shares some of the reactions he received from listeners responding to Izzy's voice set to orchestral music. And we hear a couple more tracks from Wonderful World.
The song White Sandy Beach is also from Facing Future. And that's one of my favorite songs of all time that Iz did. And it's also on Wonderful World. What's the story behind that?
White Sandy Beach is the first one we scored.
Oh, really?
The first one that I started passing around and say, what about here? What about there? What about this? And it has a very interesting story behind it. It's a beautiful love song. It's about a man and a woman getting married in Hawaii. And this man, he's a Vietnamese man, and he wrote this song. He's written two songs in his life, and this was one of them. And I met him recently, and I said, can I hear the other song? Because this is a good song. But this was a special moment in his life. He just had just gotten married, and he was walking down a beach in Hawaii.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know the story behind that song.
Yeah, it's a very interesting song.
Okay.
It's a very interesting story.
Here's Iz and White Sandy Beach from the recently released CD Wonderful World on KIPO's Kanikapila Sunday. Iz.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, and White Sandy Beach from the CD Wonderful World. And we're with executive producer John DeMello. And John told me a great story while the song was playing.
Okay,
I don't know if you'd like that.
I'll give you an abbreviation.
Okay, please.
A man that wrote this, we could not find. His name was Willie Dan. And he in essence was from Vietnam, small little statured man. And he changed his name from Quang Dac, you know, to Willie Dan, thinking that no one could pronounce the first name, his Vietnamese name. And he copyrighted it and everything, but for years and years we couldn't find it. And songwriters, if you don't know, songwriters get a royalty off every song, off every album that their song appears on. And so we have what we call a suspense account. We kind of throw it into an account waiting for somebody to claim the song because we couldn't find it. We searched for years. This was like 10 years we searched for this man. We couldn't find him. And it was because of the Willie Dan and his Vietnamese name that kind of messed up timing a little bit. Meanwhile, we get a phone call. And all of a sudden, it's Willie Dan, okay? And he says, I'm in Honolulu on my way through going to Los Angeles. Can I come meet you? I know about Israel and the song and all and everything. And I'm the writer. I said, wow, we'll come by. Now, we get a lot of calls by people saying, I wrote that song. But they can't prove it, okay? They can't. It's not. There's no copyright on it or anything like that. And so he walks in the door, very polite. And we strike up a conversation and we chit chat and he presents us with the proper forms. It says he owns the song, it's copywritten under his name and everything. I'm delighted. And then I just says, well, how are you? What do you do? How's your life? And he very politely and in not a complaint form says, well, I've gone through kind of a rough period of my life the last 5 years. My son was killed in an accident and my wife divorced me and took my other children, and I lost my business. I went bankrupt, and you know, it was a tear-jerking story. Just it sounded like a movie to me. You know, it was just sort of out there. And upon that whole thing, he said, and I'm on my way to Los Angeles to. I don't have a job. I'm going to go there. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do it. And I pull out of my pocket. A check with a lot of zeros on it because we've been holding this form for a long time and I was suspecting this was the right owner because he said he had all the right tools I put this in front of him and it had more zeros than he had ever seen in his life. And it's just another beautiful example of how Israel Kamakavivoli was helping his fellow man. Even 15 years later, 10 years after he was gone, he helped this man change his whole life and start again. And it was beautiful. We get the return stubs of the checks that we continually send him 4 times a year. And he gives these to his mother. Uh-huh. He gives the checks to his mother. He's back in Vietnam. He's got a company and he's surviving and he's doing well. And he gives these checks to his mother to support her. So I think it's just a beautiful, warm story,
yeah.
You know, about, you know, Israel again, helping mankind way after he was gone.
Wow. And this, The White Sandy Beach was only one of two songs that this guy wrote?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Amazing.
I said, you've written everything, anything else? I want to hear it. Please. And he plays the other song. I said, well, okay, go back to writing. You know, don't quit your daytime job, you know. And he explained it was a special moment. He was here. He got married in Hawaii with his wife. And he was walking down a beach, and he wrote the song. His song appeared in his head, and he just took it over.
I love that song.
Me too. It's a beauty.
Yeah. And another song I've always liked is this version of Kahui Lawai. And if you could please tell me, maybe you have a little story behind that too.
Well, this song is about a water wheel. And in going around, and as fast as it was going around, the more excited you would get. Now, in Hawaiian and Kauna and such, that means different meanings. But mostly, it means what I just said. When it's going around and water's coming out, everybody's happy and fun and stuff like that. So this song is a jumpy little song that we orchestrated around Israel, and I think it works real well.
Okay, here it is. Kahui Lawai from the CD Wonderful World on KIPO's Kanikapila Sunday.
Aho he vahia e nini uai. ka moana. Aloha iano mo I olele I ka lele a ke ao I no ka moana. Aloha iano o vai o inu ka pali lele vai a ke koa e. Aloha iano o vai o inu ka pali lele vai a ke koa e. Boina itahi pitate uluma e mae. Maino, maino hoe aho boina itahi pitate uluma e mae. Aina iame anaka pua.
Is and Kahui Lawai on Kaini Kapila Sunday, and that's from the CD Wonderful World in Stores Now. We're here with John DeMello from the Mountain Apple Company. What's the reaction like when you walk down the street? What have people been saying to you?
It's generally beautiful. Uh-huh. I have to say that walking through all of Moana Center is tough right now. You know, people are constantly, strangers are coming up and saying, thank you so much for helping what it is, but also keeping it alive and keeping it moving and things like that. So it's been real rewarding in that sense. Someone called me over the weekend and said that they were listening to one of the songs, and all they needed to do was listen to it in front of their two speakers and close their eyes, and they could see Israel in a tuxedo in front of an orchestra. And I said, that's cool. Did he have shoes on? And he said, no, he had slippers on. I said, that was Israel.
Right.
Perfect, you know? Yeah. So that was it. It was a tremendous amount of creativity and fun doing it. People are accepting it. People are liking it. It's for some people, it's a little jarring. People don't quite get it. The purity's missing. They like him alone. But I think there's a natural progression to it. And I think in the end, everyone will truly, truly like it.
Wow. I like it. That's the main thing, right?
You know, I do too.
As long as we like it.
This is the main thing.
And Howard Dykus likes it too.
Howard likes it. We're on.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we got three. We got a quorum here.
John DeMello is the executive producer of Wonderful World, and he's from the Mountain Apple Company. Congratulations so much on your success.
Thank you.
And hope to see you soon and with more music from Iz.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Israel thanks you too. He was such a gentle and incredible soul for our planet Earth. He taught us so much that I hope it just continues on and on and on.
That was John DeMello back in 2007. Talking with me after the release of Wonderful World, an album that he envisioned and produced. It paired Israel Kamakaviva-Ole's famous vocals with new orchestral compositions. They brought a fresh musicality to some of Iz's best recordings. And that's it for this installment of Kaini Kapila Vintage, produced by D.W. Gibson. The original interviews were recorded by Jason Taglianetti. Mahalo for tuning in. We'll be back soon with another installment of Kanikapila Vintage. Don't forget that Kanikapila Sunday lives on with Luis Kealiiloma King Lanzolotti every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. So tune in live. Until next time, aloha.
Support for Kanikapila Vintage comes from Manuhealii, celebrating Hawaii's culture and heritage for 41 years. From its craft fair origins to a multifaceted creative company, Manuhealii has grown to a family business with artists designing apparel and accessories inspired by Hawaii's culture, colors, and lifestyles. Discover their collections at manuhealii.com.